You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're continuing our conversation in the Set Apart to Serve series today, talking with teachers about the joy of teaching in Lutheran schools. We'll continue that conversation in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Joe Cox. He's head of academics at Lutheran High School South here in St. Louis. Pastor Cox, welcome.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Sarah. It's great to be here with you today.
And some folks might recognize your name, your voice. You're not a stranger to radio here in St. Louis, not a stranger to KFUO. Have you on as a guest from time to time. And just before we went on the air, sharing a little bit about you were part of the talent here at KFUO a few years ago.
Well, talent might be a little bit overrated. But yes, I did have the opportunity to serve at KFUO during my last year at the seminary.
So let's talk about seminary. That's part of formation and being a Lutheran church worker. When did you first start thinking about serving as a church worker?
Oh, first thinking about it? Every once in a while, sitting in church as a kid, I had those thoughts that, oh, I could be a pastor. Oh, I could go start my own church. You know, kind of those silly things that kids think about. But when it first got real was a good portion of the way through my undergraduate school, really got involved in the Christian life at my campus. I went to a secular university, so it was not, I did not go to a Concordia starting out, but got involved in Bible studies, got involved in the campus Lutheran church. And through that, really the Lord started working on my heart. And at one point I said, well, I've been planning on going to law school for quite a while now, but if I don't go to law school, the only way I'll go to grad school is seminary. Spoiler alert. I didn't go to law school. Yeah, and so that interest was growing. Ironically, I had a friend who was coming down to Concordia Seminary for one of their come check us out weekends, and on a whim, I pretty much last minute hopped in the car with him and figured I'd go on a road trip and just kind of see what it was all about, and the ball really started rolling from there.
Isn't there someone else who studied law and then became a pastor too in history?
In history, yes.
Yes. Yeah, in like Germany, wasn't there someone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm.
I didn't want to make that equation. We'll let the listener look that up.
Your bit of trivia for the day. What did the rest of your formation look like choosing to go to seminary, and that formation when you were in seminary? What was that formation experience like for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, complete transparency. And I remember having a conversation with the campus pastor at our church about the fact that even though I had at that point decided to go to the seminary, I still wasn't really interested in being a parish pastor. I was really intrigued with theology. By virtue of being at a secular campus, I had gotten really involved in evangelism and more particularly apologetics. And so that was always something I was interested in. And he just assured me, he said, go to the seminary. You'll be surprised how many other things there are available besides being a parish pastor. And really kind of forgot about that conversation for a little while. Vicarage time came and it worked out for me to stay in St. Louis and to work on my vicarage at Ebenezer Lutheran Church up in North County, and they have River Rose Lutheran School connected to them. And a big portion of my vicarage was teaching religion in the day school to each of the classes. And I fell in love. And so when I came back to the seminary for my fourth year, I said, put me in a school. That's where I want to be. And we talk about the joy of education. It really was. From there, things moved forward. My first call was at Lutheran High School in St. Charles, Missouri. I left there to go back and do a little bit of work at the seminary, and now I'm at Lutheran South here in South County, and just absolutely love being able to be in the school, to work with education, to be used by the Lord to help really shape and form that younger generation of the church as the Lord is looking to craft and prepare them for the vocations he has in store for them.
So what do you get to teach today? I mean, it's summer right now, but
yeah, no. And I've had the opportunity of teaching a wide variety of courses over the last 20 some years. But most recently I've been teaching the Honors English 1 course for ninth graders, which is an introduction to literature and really how to read literature and working to take our students to that next level of really being able to read literature deeply and moving past just, do you understand what happened in the story, to being able to read the nuances and then hopefully inspire them to use the power of words, which is my theme, and look at how God uses words literally to create reality at the very beginning and then to restore that reality. And how that power of words is something that he has given and bequeathed to us to use for his purposes and for his glory. And so I get to do that. Apologetics, again, is one of our honors theology courses. I've taught the honors ethics course. And again, those are kind of the more recent ones, but obviously New Testament, Old Testament. I got a chance to teach some film studies, which was fun, and English too, which was American Lit. So I've been able to bounce around over the years. And again, there's lots of classes that have gone by the wayside over all that time. But
yeah, nice variety of stuff. It's kind of fun as a teacher to be able to do that in a high school setting. And it, like you said, shape and form the next generation. Now, you mentioned law school at some point was on your radar. Do you get to do anything with law at all with these high schoolers?
Yeah, that was another one. Lutheran South has a mock trial team, which may sound a little bit different for people, but basically what the team does is they go out against other teams. We show up at the St. Louis County Courthouse for our assigned trials, and they perform trials where the witnesses are given facts of a case, and the witnesses have to portray the case according to those facts, and the lawyers act as actual lawyers, and they give openings and closings, and they make objections. Again, they were just looking for somebody to coach that some 17 years ago. And I said, oh, you know, I used to have a little bit of interest in that. And that's grown into a fabulous program. We did really well at the state competition the last couple of years. And so, again, it's a really neat place to work on helping form students. In this case, they do a lot with public speaking, with critical thinking. Mm-hmm. But again, the end goal is that what we want to do with this is use these skills for preparing ourselves for service to the church, particularly in standing up for issues of truth and justice for the purpose of serving Christ.
Mm-hmm. So as a teacher, you get to do more than just teach in a classroom from a textbook. What I'm hearing is you get to be a part of their lives in a number of ways, not just teaching theology in a classroom, but that goes far beyond the walls too. What are the other ways that you get to really connect with and engage with students in critical thinking, in studying God's word, in all these things that you want them to be equipped with when they leave high school?
Yeah, I don't know there's an easy answer to that because it changes based on the student. It changes sure. based on the relationship. But a couple of things. Number one, just simply being at a Christian high school is going to have a difference in terms of what I'm allowed, what I'm expected to talk about, and even the depth of some of those conversations. And Lutheran South in particular, and I don't have a lot of experience with a lot of other schools, so this isn't a weird different because of this, but it is different from my high school experience in that it's almost more like a family at times, where I've looked at people more than once and said, you know, look, I'm your older brother in the faith who's been down this path before. Let me walk with you. Let me give you some guidance. And so in that sense, it's not just that very formal relationship yeah. of teacher-student, but it gets to be that thing that grows into relationships to the point that I still have relationships with former students. Case in point, I had the opportunity, a former student of mine is currently studying abroad, and we happened to be in the same city, so we met up and had lunch. And she was even sharing how the people she was studying with thought it was the weirdest thing in the world that she would be meeting her high school teacher to have lunch. But for us, that was completely normal. And by us, I mean for that Lutheran South community, because those are the ways those relationships have developed, is that they transcend the classroom and it really becomes that cross-generational fellowship that the church is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What does that relationship look like beyond the classroom and beyond the regular school day with the students' families? How are you able to walk alongside the students' families as well as in this like, kind of holistic approach to formation of young people?
Yeah, that's another great question. And there's a lot of different ways that it happens. We have a campus chaplain, Pastor Chris Summer, who is amazing at building those kind of relationships and reaching out, especially when crises occur, that we're able to be able to hopefully provide support, not just for the student, but also to reach out to the families and be available when that happens. Of course, when you have a community that is based not just in the school, but all of our surrounding churches, so that we have many, many teachers who have known these students maybe since they were born because mm-hmm. they've been going to the same church for all these years. And so you have that interconnectivity mm-hmm. that I haven't been at Sal since I'm going into my 18th year, and I still feel like the new guy because I don't have those multi-generational relationships that exist in that church. But that's very much exactly what happens in terms of having those relationships. And then again, to be the high school teacher in the classroom who makes an impact, I think something that's really important is being involved in something with the students outside of the classroom so that you get to know them on a different level. And that enhances that relationship, which has a very significant and positive impact. And so our teachers are involved in coaching and so forth. And so we get to know our students that way. And those informal times together help build those relationships also.
We're continuing our conversation in the Set Apart to Serve series today with Reverend Joe Cox, head of academics at Lutheran High School South here in St. Louis. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our Set Apart to Serve series today with Reverend Joe Cox. He's head of academics at Lutheran High School South here in St. Louis. Pastor Cox, you have shared a beautiful picture of what it's like to be a teacher with students in a Lutheran high school, getting to share the Word of God with them, be a part of their lives. What about your colleagues? What about the teachers that you teach with every day that you get to collaborate with in all this, all your efforts to raise up this next generation? What is it like being a part of that team?
Yeah, once again, the team at South is really amazing in terms of the way that we're able to work together and support one another. I mentioned previously about supporting the families when issues of crises happen, but the same thing with the faculty, that we're able to be there for each other. I was just talking to someone yesterday whose wife had surgery, and he was mentioning the different teachers who have already stopped by to bring by meals and so forth, which again, I don't know is necessarily uncommon, but that is part of that camaraderie that builds up. And as you've worked with people for years and years and you've gotten to know them and you've taught each other's kids, and so you know the stress and the struggles that each other has been through. And underlying all of that is that foundation that is shared in the faith of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and that community of baptized believers is something that is really, really powerful and binds people together in a sense that, yeah, they're my coworkers, but they're also my friends, but they're also my family. And it very much transcends the work day, so to speak, in terms of those relationships with one another.
Talking about joy in teaching, we all know that, you know, life isn't always roses and rainbows and hippos or whatever else you love in life. I don't know. But I mean, we all have hard days, and in any vocation brings more challenging times. What are ways that you and other teachers at Lutheran South are able to be sustained in this joy of God's word and the joy of teaching young people when things aren't always maybe going as well as you want them to?
You know, that camaraderie that I mentioned, I think, is a huge part of it. When you have those moments and you can walk into a closed room and be able to share some of the frustrations that emerge and know that you have somebody who's hearing you for what you're saying, mm-hmm. to be able to receive you in your moment of brokenness and love you for that and support you and remind you of the bigger picture and help you be able to see things in the context of God being in charge of his church is huge. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, we're spoiled. We have amazing kids at Lutheran South. We have amazing families and support. And you talk to many teachers in our country today and you hear all kinds of horror stories, not to make more out of social media than is necessary, but I'm an English teacher's social media blog, Facebook thingy, whatever you call those. And when I hear some of the stories that teachers share, we're blessed with the amount of support we have from our stakeholders, from administration and parents and the students, that it's just a unique place. Mm-hmm. And honestly, those moments of frustration are really few and far between, which helps. and that's why I say I want to say that we're somewhat spoiled, that the problems we're facing when we're dealing with our students sometimes are significant, but not the kind of things that you're going to read about on the nightly news and the problems with kids today. The kids know that they're loved, mm-hmm. and that, I think, really changes a lot.
How do you keep the saw sharp? How mm-hmm. do you, you said you've been, this is your 18th year?
Yeah, starting up, yes.
Lutheran South. How do you continue to stay on top of your discipline, what the subjects that you teach? How do you stay on top of just education in general and to do that with such joy?
I'm a nerd.
Yes.
That helps.
No, and that's part of it, is being intentional about growth opportunities in terms of professional development. Part of it is being intentional about taking the time to be reflective on what I'm doing, taking the time to read. And again, it does take time. And there are moments you sit back and, oh, I haven't picked up a book. And because you just get so overwhelmed with those daily tasks that need to be done. But to be intentional with it. Part of it is I get bored easily. And so I'm always, in a sense, I'm bored easily. And my wife likes to say I'm a dreamer. Mm. So I'm always looking at, okay, what new thing can we do? And part of that is I try to be intentional about choosing at least one new element that I bring to each course each year, which on one hand may not sound like a lot, but when you're intentionally doing that, what you do is avoid the trap that a teacher has where they've been teaching the same exact course for 20 years. And when you do look back, you see that, no, the course has been evolving. You pay attention to what's going on in the news. You work to incorporate. And eventually, I think what you find is that just becomes part of who you are. And so it becomes a natural part of the classroom that whatever I'm reading in my devotion time winds up coming into the class discussions or what I'm watching on TV, those become part of it as well. Everything I do, even on vacation, always seems to come back to, oh, I could do this in the classroom, or I need to take this picture because I can add this to this presentation. It's simply just kind of part of who I am, I guess.
Teachers in general are just very resourceful people, right?
So, yeah. Well, and that's it. Again, you love what you're doing, and it becomes part of who you are. And I've heard people say that it's kind of hard to separate the teacher from the rest of who they are. It becomes part of everything.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can see that. You can tell. Like, I remember my time as a elementary high school student, and like you knew which teachers were like that. You could tell which ones just kind of oozed the joy of that sounds terrible, but this joy of being able to pass along knowledge and have the creativity in the classroom to really bring the kids along and bring in new things, which is like I have certain things in my time as a student that I'm like, that was a time this teacher, you could tell they really loved what they were doing. So
absolutely. And you mentioned the creativity. Part of that too is the humility and the willingness to fail.
Yeah.
And I've had to say that on more than one occasion. This did not go how I expected it to. But the reality is I wouldn't be moving forward if I wasn't willing to have some things go really awry. Mm-hmm. And to even use those moments as a little bit of a teaching lesson, especially mm-hmm. for young people today who have been conditioned to think that any single moment of something going wrong is some sort of abject failure of who they are as a human being. Mm-hmm. And to be able to learn and to model laughing at oneself and learning from error in itself becomes just an amazing teaching moment.
Yeah. A lot of times you learn more from the things that didn't go well than the things that did.
So that, absolutely.
That's a huge thing to be able to model for young people. What are some of your favorite lessons or things or days to teach? I know this may be an unfair question since you teach so much, but some of those favorite moments that you have teaching kids, your favorite lessons you've been able to share with them.
Let's see how I can get myself in trouble here. I love when I get the opportunity to teach the beginning, the genealogy of Jesus as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew.
Oh.
Particularly because if you read it closely, you have five women mentioned. Mm-hmm. And we start looking at particularly the four from the Old Testament, Mary would be the fifth. And you start looking at the parts of their lives that are recorded in Scripture aren't necessarily the most celebratory. Mm-hmm. And we start using this as the basis for talking about what is Matthew actually saying about this Savior who's coming and his line? And we get a chance to really unpack. And once again, that here is God in the flesh, and Matthew's quite clear of that, mm-hmm. who comes from a messy line of humans, not unlike what we ourselves have experienced in our own families. And to be able to start unlocking that and start showing how Matthew really recapitulates the Old Testament, that would be one. I really enjoy my lesson on Star Wars. I teach mythology, and particularly mythology, not in the sense of, oh, those are the Greek gods or those are the Norse gods, but mythology as those overarching stories that humans tell to explain our existence. And I use Star Wars as kind of an example of the American mythology, but from there I jump off, and this is where I'll get myself in trouble, so let me be very clear. But I start teaching the students to look at Christianity and the story of Christ as a mythology, not in the sense of a false story from a long time ago, but the overarching story by which we understand our entire existence. And I do a little bit with Tolkien and mm-hmm. C.S. Lewis, and really start unlocking that power, that concept of the power of the words, and how the true historical story of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has an impact that far outlasts just simply an hour or two on Sunday morning, and really impacts the way we view the entire world and how it shapes that. So that's another fun lesson that I get to do with the freshmen. And again, it's a little shocking at first because I have to work through what I'm saying and what I'm not saying just to make sure we don't have any unnecessary reports of heresy being put out there. But to really challenge the students to look at the world around them in a new way and start opening up that Christian worldview lens as they approach their own lives.
Mm-hmm. Anything else about being a Lutheran teacher that brings you joy, or any other aspects of this vocation where you find joy?
You know, I don't know if this is kind of the parenting aspect, but when you find a student who is following in your own path, who you know either indirectly or directly because they say something, where you have had that impact on their life, that's just a blessing you can't plan on. And so, for example, one of our grads who just graduated from the seminary this season, he's going to be installed in a church here in St. Louis. And again, the joy of knowing that however much I was a part of being able to form him into this amazing pastor that I know he's going to be. And I know it wasn't just me. I mean, we're talking an entire community of people who have poured into him. But to see the students do that, or the students who go into the church work, or even maybe if they don't become professional church workers, they come back and you hear about how something maybe you've forgotten you ever said or did is still with them and has been guiding. And in a sense, to know that unworthy as I am, the Holy Spirit used me to touch someone on that kind of level is just a reality that, and a joy you can't get past. You're going to hear people say you're not going to get rich being a Lutheran school teacher. But I would challenge, there's no amount of money that can surpass the depth of confidence, the depth of joy that I have knowing that I get the opportunity and the honor to be a part of touching people on such a deep level.
Our guest today, the Reverend Joe Cox, head of academics at Lutheran High School South here in St. Louis. Pastor Cox, thanks so much for being our guest for the Set Apart to Serve series.
Well, thanks for the invitation. I really appreciated getting a chance to sit down with both of you.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Ogleseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.